It's Sunday morning, time for the great outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter on WGN Radio. Happy to be with you this morning. Hope you're having a great June. A lot of you may be headed to Alaska, or some of you may be headed to Alaska this summer. I learned something the other day that I guess I find troubling, and I guess I find sort of wrong, and that is this: cruise line gouging. So if you're going to Alaska and you're on a cruise line, and let's say you're going to Sitka or you're going to Juneau or you're going to anywhere, Ketchikan, Petersburg, any of the places in southeast Alaska where all the cruise ships love to stop. When you're on the cruise ship, you're going to find that they have signups for all kinds of activities. Kayaking in Sitka, for example, $300. I was talking to an operator in Sitka the other day, Sitka, Alaska, about the summer business and what the summer looked like and doing the things that I do often and sort of getting a sense on outdoor tourism and outdoor activities. And he said, our business is terrible. He said it's down 50% or more from last year and the year before, and everyone's kind of dealing with a post-COVID that versus the COVID years. And I asked him why that was, and he said the cruise ships are gouging their customers, and the customers aren't booking trips. He said my rate for a half-day kayak trip for a cruise line is $100 a kayak, a two-person kayak, $100 a kayak for a half day. He said, but on the cruise lines, when you're on the boat and you go to book the trip, it's $300 for two people. So they're marking it up 300%. And he said, it's killing our business. So I called around and I found out that movie theater tickets, which are $10, are $25 or $30. And tickets to the Raptor shows, which are $30, are $70. In one case, almost $90. And so I checked around Southeast Alaska, and what I found from vendor after vendor is the prices that they are selling their trips or events to the cruise ships are being doubled and tripled by the cruise ships. And this is a totally new phenomenon. So unable to get in touch with the cruise lines, and I tried several, I went back to some of my individuals I know in the Sitka area, and I asked them a little more, and they said, here's what's happened. The cruise ships are driving, somehow they've all kind of gotten together, makes you wonder, and they're driving for profit. So if you've tripled your price or doubled your price, and you have fewer customers, you're still likely to make more money. And that's what's happening. But it's absolutely crushing the local vendors. So there's a movement afoot, Southeast Alaska Tourism Association, Southeast Alaska Fly Fishermen, Southeast Alaska Kayakers, etc., outfitters. Online, you can do all these things, and they all either have formal or informal associations, and they're banding together, and they're going to go direct to the customers. And in fact, they're talking about not offering any trips to the cruise lines, just simply saying to the cruise lines, you can't book with us. Your customers have to go direct. And the cruise lines actually have no choice. You pull into Sitka, Alaska, there are X number of individuals who can outfit for kayaks. And if they all decide they're not going to offer their trips through the cruise lines have absolutely nothing to offer when you land in Sitka, Alaska. So this can work both ways. But it was really shocking to me to find out that there's no other way to describe it other than the cruise lines, and it doesn't mean they're bad people, but it just means they're taking advantage of their customers, who in turn are harming the people that make the cruise business possible. It's not going to last very long, but it's in play right now in places like Sitka, Juneau, St. Petersburg, Ketchikan, perhaps other cruise ports. I don't know, but I do know in those areas. And it makes you wonder, really, what happens to sort of the connectivity to a local community? And in Sitka, the ship arrives, if you may have been on it, or if you're going to Sitka, here's a heads up. You arrive in the morning and you spend the day and you leave in the evening. and you're off-boarded and they've got all these excursions and things that you signed up for on the boat. If instead of signing up for it on the boat, you go direct to an operator, you're going to pay half or even less than you're going to pay on the cruise lines. So this will probably figure its way out pretty quickly, but right now in the month of June, and by the way, the local operators across Southeast Alaska did not know this was happening until their bookings plummeted and they started to talk to the cruise lines and say, is your business down? Oh, no, our business is great. Well, why are our bookings plummeting? Now we know why. It's a good thing we have a capitalist system. This won't last long, but it does. It's kind of a stab at people who, a lot of people have saved up a lot of money to go to Alaska and have a true Alaskan experience only to find out they're being gouged when they're there. Stay tuned. I'm actually going to Sitka, Alaska at the end of July, and I'll be in Juneau, and I'll let you know what I find. New York Times story. A couple weeks ago, I talked about a story that ran in the New York Times, which I described as a hit piece on the Undersecretary of Agriculture, who is being nominated. And it's a piece that I show on WGN that I've probably received more comments on, or as many comments on, as any I can recall in a long time, from frankly all over the world. Because of WGN, you're being able to podcast this show if you're not listening to it live this morning. Individuals said, it's about time somebody spoke up for those who don't have a voice. And I didn't know I was doing that, actually, when I talked about the New York Times article. But from listeners, from those of you around the country, and in fact, in some cases around the world who contacted me, your comment was, it's too bad that people are attacked all the time and don't have a way to defend themselves, or falsely accused or maligned, etc. And several of you thanked me for giving voice to an individual who had been maligned by the New York Times. Happens to be he's going to be a public servant in a highly visible public position. But for those individuals who don't have the ability to have the other side of the story told, the comments I received were, how do we level the playing field? Because there are so many stories written that really don't tell both sides or unfair. So I obviously struck a nerve with you. And as I said, when I did the show, it wasn't about attacking the New York Times. I'm not going to do that. It was about pointing out what was frankly just unfair journalism. And I guess based upon what I heard from you, when there's stories in the great outdoors that are going around that maybe are maligning individuals or organizations that don't have the opportunity to counter them, I'll counter them if I believe that they have merit. Certainly, the one for Undersecretary of Agriculture certainly had merit. And thank you for weighing in. Before I go to the break here in just a moment, I want to talk about a story. You would think this was Illinois, but a friend of mine sent me this story and I checked it out. And of course, it's accurate. Louisiana Department of Wildlife and Fisheries, their secretary, Jack Montesant, has been indicted for accepting bribes. Isn't that great? The secretary of the Louisiana Department of Fish and Wildlife, or Wildlife and Fisheries, as they call it, has been charged with accepting bribes, kickbacks, for having vendors selected by the state to use, where people in the state, licensed vendors, have to use certain people to buy licenses, certain online vendors, and there's a fee collected. Well, apparently, it didn't occur to me, there's money to be made in collecting that fee, and if you're appointed to a position within the Department of Louisiana, you can maybe hold up that license fee for a bribe. And that's what he did. And he's been caught. And obviously, in American society, if just because you're indicted doesn't mean that you are guilty by any means. But this individual has been charged, and it's Louisiana. And, you know, we're accustomed to these kind of things in Illinois. But Louisiana also has a long track record of chicanery when it comes to officials, elected officials in particular, taking money they shouldn't have. But when it happens to the Wildlife and Fisheries Department, that's a black eye none of us need. We like to think frankly, of the wildlife and fisheries departments across America as being kind of a special place where people go to work for careers because they want to make a difference for society. They want to make our natural resources better. They want to further the things in the great outdoors. And we don't think of them being on the take. So let's hope he's proven innocent. But in the meantime, that's the headline. When I come back, I'm going to talk about a study taking place on the prairies, which is transformative. And I'm also going to talk about this public lands discussion that there's so much misinformation. Even I, spending hours trying to ferret this out, really don't know what's happening. But one thing's for sure, it's controversial. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN Radio. I'll be back in just a moment. And first, a message from our longtime sponsors, the Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
Hiking, camping, and hunting, it's all an adventure in the great outdoors, but nature can be tough. You need to be ready for anything and everything. Chevy Silverado is built to handle the toughest conditions and get you everywhere you want to go, worry-free. Silverado's designed to handle the big jobs. It's built for the great outdoors. With over 13,000 pounds of towing capacity and trailering sway control, Silverado can haul the biggest loads on the roughest roads and keep you cool as a Sunday drive. With 8 available cameras and up to 14 different views, it can spot trouble before it gets to you. That's peace of mind. And when you're ready for the backcountry, Chevy Silverado 1500 ZR2 owns the off-road. You name it, we run over it. No wonder it's Motor Trend's 2023 four-wheeler pickup truck of the year. So see your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealer or go to ChevyDriveChicago.com and check out a Chevy Silverado. It's freedom to explore the great outdoors.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoor Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And let me just talk for a moment about something called isotopes, stable isotopes, in fact, and technology. From time to time, I have individuals on the air who can talk about emerging technologies and how it's changing science for understanding animals. We've had Stan Garrett of Ohio State University and the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation on the air numerous times talking about the kind of work he's doing, which is cutting edge. Well, he's also involved in a study that's looking at predators and predators' impacts on birds on the prairie nesting grounds, which of course are the cradle of life for well over half the bird populations. Well over half the water, 70% of the waterfowl population, duck population on the continent utilizes the prairie breeding grounds, wetland-dependent birds, ground nesting birds, etc. So, first of all, the prairie breeding grounds, 300,000 square miles, 96 million acres, it was the largest grassland ecosystem on Earth prior to our arrival and the beginning of farming. So think about that for a second. We've heard about the Serengeti and how immense the Serengeti is, and people travel to Africa to go see the wildebeest migration, incredible grasslands. The prairies were larger in size, 300,000 square miles of grass, very few trees of grass, which is one of the reasons you read the accounts of the early settlers. One of the things they feared most was prairie wildfires, because lightning strikes would occur and the prairies would light on fire and grass burns hot and it burns fast and there's no way to get out of it. And there's stories, and I've said this before, written in books about prairie fires sweeping across Illinois, and Illinois was a prairie state. Sweeping across Illinois is a prairie state. Sweeping across Illinois and individuals literally shooting their horses and climbing and gutting them and climbing inside the horse cavity, as sick as that seems. So the fire would burn over them, burn the horse's hide, but not them. That's how fast those fires move. The prairie pothole region, the 300,000 square miles, 96 million acres, that does not include Illinois and Indiana, which also were part of the grassland. So the largest grassland in the world, in all the world, by a significant factor, of course, it's gone. There's just a small percentage of native prairie left. In Illinois, it's like 0.1% of native prairie left. In the Dakotas, it's a little more. Canada, a little more, but not much. So with the changing of the grasslands, we've obviously changed grassland nesting birds, which is, include ducks and songbirds and all kinds of neotropical birds, and includes water birds, sandpipers, and killdeer, and all kinds of species. So the predator population has changed dramatically on the prairies as a result of the changing of the landscape and the advancement of man. And for instance, the raccoon was not a species that was found on the prairies. And now it's prevalent, same with skunks. So we're trying to find out, and have been for a long time, what eats ground nesting birds, and how can we possibly reduce their impact so that we do not have such carnage occurring on bird species that are either in trouble or that have never faced predators during evolution of these kind. Enter the world of new science and stable isotopes. There'll be much more on this in the coming years, but basically stable isotopes are, we take the whiskers of predators or the feathers of birds, and it can tell you what they've been eating and when they ate it. It's an oversimplification, but that's the end result. So the idea is to understand what a raccoon eats in June or July or August or March, and what a skunk eats or what a crow or raven eats, and determine what, based on what they eat, when they are concentrating on birds, and particularly when they are concentrating on eggs. And then to focus the attention during that time period on those predators in key areas to reduce their impact. A raccoon is not eating eggs 9, maybe even 10 months out of the year. How important, the 2 months the birds are on the nesting grounds, how important are eggs to their diet? If we find out that they are very important, then we know to begin to address the possibility of reducing their population. They're not native anyway to the prairies. But if we find out that, in fact, duck eggs are only a small percentage of their diet, then that means reducing the raccoon population is really not going to greatly help ground nesting birds or waterfowl because they're not eating a lot of eggs. So, and this is information we just don't have. And yet we've assumed forever that raccoons and skunks, coyotes are eating lots of eggs, fox eating lots of eggs. We've assumed that, but we don't know. And if they are eating eggs in June, but not July, then maybe you want to work on their populations in June, but doesn't matter in July. So this is going to develop in the coming years with technology, with using isotopes to be able to analyze the diets of predators. It's fantastic. It's groundbreaking. It'll save lots of money in the future of research and in management. And it will give us a direction that we've never had. That's one way technology is really, really advancing science, and particularly in the area of wildlife and bird management. Lastly, 10 seconds left. This idea of selling public lands, which is being discussed by the U.S. Senate in the reconciliation bill on the budget, stirred up lots of controversy. Very bad idea. I'll have more on it next week once we actually figure out what the reconciliation package says. But Senator Mike Lee of Utah has been driving this. He may be doing so for reasons unique to Utah on a nationwide basis. Not only is it highly unpopular, it's also probably not a very good policy, at least the way they're talking about it now. Thanks so much for listening. This is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN.